A general note for clarification, in the following interviews, you may hear those interviewed refer to learning mindsets as academic mindsets. The field around learning mindsets and skills is constantly shifting, and so too is our vocabulary. Recently, the Raikes Foundation conducted extensive research regarding the field and arrived at the title Learning Mindsets and Skills, Empowering Students to Unlock Their Potential. Rest assured that whether those interviewed are referring to academic mindsets or learning mindsets and skills, they are talking about the same thing. Welcome to the Learning Mindsets and Skills Massive Open Online Course Podcast Series. This series is brought to you by the High Tech High Graduate School of Education with support from the Raikes Foundation on the Coursera On Demand MOOC platform. Details about this massive open online course, as well as other courses offered by High Tech High, can be found at www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs. That's www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs. In our second installment of Week 2, we'll be discussing how to assess for growth mindsets. Our speaker in this podcast will be someone who plays an important role in this process.
I am Ed Briseño. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Mindset Works.
And what does Mindset Works do exactly? Eduardo goes on to explain.
An organization that I co-founded with Carol Dweck, who's a Stanford professor, and a few different psychologists and educators, to develop students as motivated and effective learners, as people who will take charge over their own learning, their own present, their future, and be effective lifelong learners.
Before we begin to assess growth mindsets, let's first hear about one particular strategy to help promote them.
A strategy to foster a growth mindset is to talk about what people do, their behavior, their choices, their strategies, rather than, you know, whether they're smart or not, or naturally talented or not, which can be perceived as something that they don't have control over. So that's just an example, but the most powerful way to do this is to really foster a growth mindset in ourselves and to be lifelong learners ourselves, to see, you know, how can I stretch myself today? What is beyond my comfort zone? And how can I be a role model learner that is looking to challenge myself every day to see where I'm making mistakes, what I can learn from those mistakes. I'm exposing my weaknesses and my mistakes to other people to get their feedback, and I'm just living, being interested, most interested in growing and improving myself rather than showing how good I am.
So now that we have a strong example of stimulating growth mindsets, now what? How do we use that to empower both ourselves and the growth mindset?
Now, with the academics mindset strong, you know, people might be very, very highly motivated. They might say, you know, I can do this, you know, yes, let's do it. But if they don't know how to do it, then they might either be left as deer in front of headlights, like, okay, now I don't know what to do. I believe that I can do this, but I don't know how, so they're kind of helpless. Or if they have misconceptions about how to go about learning, they might try and fail because they're not doing it effectively, and try again and fail, try again and fail, try again and fail, try again and fail. And they might have the conception that trying hard is just spending time on something and just pounding your head against the wall as hard as you can, rather than trying new different strategies. So they also need, along with the academic mindsets, they need effective learning strategies and habits. So they need to learn how to manage themselves, how to manage their time, how to manage their priorities, how to manage their learning process, how learning happens, you know, if we work at the right level of challenge, that's a good level of challenge for us to be able to learn at, or, you know, what the, you know, role of sleep is in learning could be, you know, part of like an advanced part of that. But if we understand how learning works and how we can manage ourselves to be effective learners, then that's going to make us more effective learners, which is also going to strengthen the academic mindset and the belief that I can develop my abilities, I know how, and I can see my way to success.
And what about the students?
So, yeah, I mean, we can be very deliberate or not deliberate about building these beliefs and strategies in students. So I think, you know, an important step that often is not there, is to recognize this as an important thing that we do. So in the mission or vision of our schools or district, do we have as one of the things that we're trying to do, or even as the most important thing that schools can do, developing motivated and effective learners? So that's step number one. And I personally think that is the most important thing that we can do in students, is to develop that motivation and effectiveness as a lifelong learner, because the world is changing really, really quickly and the pace of change is continuing to increase. So trying to predict the world 20 years out is really hard. If you try to predict, you know, the 2000s from the 1980s would be really hard, or 2020s from the 2000s. It's really hard to predict what, you know, students are going to need to be effective at their job. And if we think in any of our jobs, if we reflect on what makes somebody effective at my current job right now, you know, what makes people effective is a lot of things are things that we learn on the job or that we have learned as adults outside and beyond school. So if we, and the pace of change is continuing to increase, and the world's a really complex place, like some students are going to want to do one thing or another thing. So what they learn outside of school and beyond school is going to be really critical. And if we prepare them as effective learners, then that's going to empower them and help them thrive throughout their lives, even more than teaching them, you know, critical thinking skill and collaboration skills and creativity, which are really important things, and they're things that I do believe we should be working on. But even more important than that, in my opinion, is developing them as lifelong learners. And my first question is, you know, are we stating that, and are we being clear about that? So if you walk into a classroom and you speak with a teacher and you ask them, what are you trying to develop in these students? Are they saying, I'm trying to develop lifelong learners? They might also say, I'm trying to develop, you know, creativity or critical thinking skills or problem solving, and those are great things. But is lifelong learning on the radar? That would be my first question. Now, if we are trying to do that, There are lots of things that we can do to develop these academic mindsets and effective learning strategies. Like, for example, when it comes to a growth mindset is understanding abilities and intelligence as malleable. So we all, you know, most people have fixed mindsets about different things. We might think that, for example, stand-up comedians are born rather than made, and stand-up comedy is not a skill that is developed over time, or athleticism, or math, or anything in life. We might see it as from a fixed mindset standpoint or a growth mindset standpoint. And the way to develop a growth mindset is not just to say, okay, growth mindset's good, you know, let's have a growth mindset, but it's really to be honestly asking the question, okay, so I have this understanding of stand-up comedy, to take an example, as something that some people have, some people are comedians and others aren't. Let's research that. Let's see whether there's any evidence one way or the other about that. And let's study the science, what the science tells us. And if we study experts in that field, how do they see their craft, and have they done anything to become better over time? One way to develop a growth mindset is to study neuroscience. And we do that in Mindset Works. We do that with students in middle school and elementary school, high school. And they learn this, what the science tells us about how the brain works and how the brain is malleable and how the brain changes functionally and physically when we work hard to improve ourselves. And when they learn about all these studies done with rats and with humans about that show how the brain changes and becomes more capable in different situations, then they learn the truth that we can improve ourselves. We can become smarter. And so that is like a foundational work that teachers and students can do, as an example, to develop that common foundation of, okay, when we are, you know, working and thinking hard and asking questions, we are making connections in our neurons in our brain. Our brain's becoming more capable, and students can visualize that, and that enables a language in the classroom to help people, yes, to talk about, yes, this is challenging, we're making mistakes, we're learning from those mistakes, remember that's making us smarter. And then there's a lot of common background that people understand about what that means and what the science behind that is. then there's a lot of things that teachers can do and the parents can do and we can all can do to support a growth mindset culture. The first thing is to be a role model learner as adults. So is the teacher somebody who is projected as somebody who has all the answers and knows everything? Or is the teacher a learner? Is the teacher saying, here's what I'm trying to learn about. This is something that I'm struggling with. By the way, do you have any feedback? I'd be really interested in your feedback about how I can improve in this area. Or here, I just went to a conference and this is something that I learned that I didn't know before. I thought it was kind of interesting, so I wanted to share it with you. So being a role model learner, or here's a mistake I made yesterday, here's what I learned from it. And so students are learning, oh, learning is valued here. Learning, we all come to school to learn, and it's not that I'm being asked to learn, but other people are not learning. So that's an example. How we grade and how we use test scores is another example. Often we put a lot of numbers and letters on a lot of things, and that prompts students to just go to those numbers and letters when they get work back, rather than focus on the substance of the feedback that they can learn from. So an example strategy is to not grade things when things are new, when we're just starting to learn them, and to be clear about what space is a learning space where we're challenging ourselves, and what space is a performance space, like a standardized test where we're trying to do the best we can and show everything that we have learned through that learning space.
In the end, there will always be ways to continue to assess growth mindsets. Eduardo discusses two of them and explains why they are useful practices.
I think there's room for both tests and learning zone, and we should spend most of our time in the learning zone. But if we look at the real world, those performance situations are in the real world outside of school too. Like, for example, if I go to interview for a job, I don't want to make mistakes. I want to really present the best that I can. I want to present how good have I become and how do I show that to this person in this interview. That's a performance situation. Or, you know, rather than trying to be making mistakes, I might be challenging myself and make that conscious choice and then learn from that experience. But it's okay also to say, no, I'm going to try to minimize mistakes and present the best that I can here because I want to see how good I've become at interviewing. Or in a championship final, you know, in a sports team, we spend most of our time in practice, and the objective of practice is to get better. So we might do things that are designed to get better in practice. Like, for example, in a team, we might put offensive players playing as defense and defensive players playing as offense so that they can learn and empathize who they're playing against during the game. We will do a lot of things in practice that are designed to get better. But at the game, you know, we might make the choice to do the best that we can based on how good we have become, and to try to minimize mistakes in the game and maximize performance. That's a very different goal in the championship final than in most of practice, but being clear that how we see mistakes in each situation and what zone we're in is important. Or if right now there was a fire alarm going off, you know, the objective in the next 5 minutes are not going to be to learn, but are going to be to try to perform the best we can to get out of the building. There are performance situations and learning situations, and the performance tells us how good we have become through all that time in the learning process. And being deliberate about this and teaching this to students helps them not only perform better in tests, which is, you know, fine, but, you know, the tests are going to tell them how good they have become through all that learning, but it can also help them prepare for performances in the real world. If they want to become, you know, Broadway actors, that's a performance. They want to try to do the best when they're on stage. That will help them figure out, okay, what's a performance situation, what's a learning situation, and how do I best prepare myself for performances is by challenging myself, making mistakes, learning from mistakes during all that practice and learning zone.
This podcast and other podcasts like it is available through Libsyn, which allows you to listen to podcasts on iTunes as well as all other podcast dissemination services. To access our library of podcasts, visit www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs and click on the podcast logo. That's www.hightechhigh.org/MOOCs and click on the podcast logo.